What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Okay, only 10 more presents to wrap. You're almost at the finish line. But first, there, the last one. Enjoy a Coca-Cola for a pause that refreshes.
W-T-L.
It's
time!
W-T-L.
I think we got a show.
Oh yeah, we got a show.
W-T-L.
And welcome back, everybody, to WTL, Where's the Line, Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron.
The Parlay Pounder.
You got it. We're back.
Oh, man. And you've been pounding some futures as well.
For sure.
So before we dive into what we want to dive into, and this is going to be a fun segment, but let's take a look back, recap the CWS, the College World Series, because, man, what a tournament. I think there's 8 one-run games, unprecedented, so much competition out there, and it came down to that rematch that you predicted, Florida-LSU, and the Tigers got the revenge.
Yeah, for sure. And definitely these were my two favorite teams going into the tournament, Andy, and I kept saying it, Florida-LSU, wanted that 2017 rematch.
Yep.
It happened. And yeah, those one-run games with Florida really got them into the position they wanted to, but really in the championship, it was those freaking games that those teams were putting up 18 to 21 runs. It was just absolutely crazy, the bats, those last two games or whatever. So it was really nice that LSU got that first game in the championship under their belt, because then it was just doors were wide open for both teams. So it was a lot of fun. It was fun to hit that futures bet for the LSU Tigers. And I called that one right at regionals. So.
Super regionals. Yep. When Tulane had to go to LSU, you're like, nope, this is too easy.
Yep. They're there.
And with Paul Skeens, why not?
Yep.
I had some success too.
For sure.
Like TCU, and they did well. They advanced, but they did drop a, you know, they obviously didn't make the championship three game series. And I thought with those, that 18-4, 24-4, I thought that just showed you how good the SEC and Florida was, too. It allowed, in game two of the championship series, it allowed Florida to kind of flex.
Yeah.
And what, they hit 5 home runs?
Yeah, it was crazy. Absolutely nuts. And, like, the number 7 batter was the one that hit, like, 3 in the College World Series. So it was just, it was crazy. Yeah, the SEC really flexed its muscles there with the two best teams in the entire college baseball.
Yes, it was. Very good showing, too.
And Omaha had a really good showing. Obviously, LSU had the biggest showing.
Wow.
There was so much purple there. I was lucky enough to go to a couple games, and it was very, very fun.
Yeah, a lot of purple and gold. And Rocco's, the downtown bar with the jello shots.
That was a lot of fun.
Oh, my God. They got up nearly 70,000 jello
shots. When you got the owner of Raising Cane's, you know,
chipping in 5,000.
Chipping in the money. It's going to go. But they had the most fans no matter what. So they were going to win.
Great tournament. Great time. And on top of that, Thursday covered a big story up for my other game. Sports betting is now legalized completely in the Cornhusker state.
Yeah.
The first sports bet, I was on hand to watch both of them being made simultaneously. That first bet did not cash.
Yeah, it didn't.
That was Wake Forest supposed to take down Florida. Nah, it didn't happen.
But lucky enough, I went there later in the day, put the bet on LSU. That one did hit. So that's a lot of fun, Andy. And I can't wait to put more legal bets in in Lincoln there.
I grabbed week 2 on Nebraska, Colorado. Not going to share that yet, but I did get some action
go
in
Scares.
On that. All right, now you found some pretty fun things here.
Yeah.
We're getting closer and closer to football.
I can feel it.
And we got a division special. Depending what book you're looking at, there's divisional specials coming out right now.
Yeah.
And you wanted to look at 3 teams in particular. Of course, we got to talk Chiefs here.
Yeah.
And what we're looking at is divisional winners.
Yeah.
And how many games they can win within the division.
Within their division, Andy. And this is a lot of fun, Andy. And right now where I'm looking at on DraftKings, Kansas City Chiefs regular season wins against divisional opponents over 4.5 is at plus 100. There's the line is at over 4.5. Each team gets 6 divisional games during the regular season, and you know the Chiefs are going up against the Raiders, the Broncos, and the Chargers. So so that line right there is trying to tell you that it doesn't think that they're going to do that. They're not going to win 5 games.
Five of the 6.
But at plus 100, that's pretty juicy right there, Andy, to either look at that and say maybe not or maybe. The under is sitting at a minus 130, so not terrible odds there. But I just look at the Kansas City Chiefs schedule, Andy, and they get Denver twice in the first part of their season, weeks 6 and 8. So they only get a week in between the Broncos that, you know, the Broncos are going to have to game plan for them a couple times, 2 times in 3 weeks. So I really think that this bet is going to hit if I go on the over. I really think the Chiefs are just out of the world better than everybody else in this division right now.
Has Mahomes ever lost to the Broncos?
Never. He's never lost a divisional game.
Wow.
As a starter.
Wow. So, oh my gosh. Well, and Andy Reid, even in his days in Phillies, he took divisional games very seriously.
For
sure. You got to win your division. And I mean, I think everyone's kind of looking at the Chargers as the number two team there, as the biggest contender.
For sure.
I mean, the Raiders are the Raiders. They're out in Las Vegas. They're fun. They're like, hey, we got a good quarterback. Let's get rid of him.
Yeah, let's get rid of him.
Hey, just like that linebacker we had, let's send him to Chicago. Let's get rid of these guys.
We got a good receiver. Let's send him to the Browns.
We don't need this talent.
It's just the way it is. And like you're saying, Andy, with the Chargers, I really think this bet hinges on a Week 18 matchup at Los Angeles. So I think they might drop one here, drop one maybe to the Broncos, maybe to the Chargers early. Yeah, and it's all going to boil down to if they can get that fifth divisional win, Week 18 at Los Angeles, which I think they do. So I am going with that plus 100 for the Kansas City Chiefs, over 4.5. They got to hit 5 wins. I think they get 5 of the 6 out of the division.
I think they can get 5 of the 6 as well, and they've been doing it every year since Andy Reid has made the change to Mahomes. Good move. Let's move on to the Vikings. Let's head on up north.
Yeah.
Their line is set at 3.5, and that's plus 125 for that 3.5.
Yeah, I just think this is way too juicy, Andy. Yeah. I think they get 4 no matter what.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, you're looking at Chicago, Detroit and Green Bay. The only thing that's really crazy about this line, Andy, is they play 3 division games the 3 last weeks of the regular season. They got
North
Detroit, Green Bay, Detroit, week 16, 17, and 18. So, like, if you can get one early and they need these wins to get in the playoffs, they could shoot off 3 right at the end. So I really like the plus 125. I really think the Vikings can do it. Even if they drop a game to Chicago or Green Bay early, they got that chance to run the table at the end of the season when they need those wins to get into the playoffs, which I do believe that they're going to need.
Oh, I think they're a playoff team, and I've turned into this Kirk Cousins apologist, you know, and I don't mean to be.
Right.
And I'm a Bears fan, but I still need to see more from our young quarterback. I do like the receiver that we grabbed from Carolina, DJ Moore.
DJ. That,
I mean, as you mentioned a week ago, he's the all-time leading receiver as far as yards go in Chicago history.
No doubt.
That's pretty darn good. Just pick that guy up off and people are like, what are we're talking about Las Vegas. What's Carolina doing? But anyhow, fired the best coach ever.
Rebuild.
How could they let the best coach ever?
Yeah, I know.
That's a little Husker fan.
We need him here in Nebraska.
That's a little Husker fan. But getting back to the Vikings, I think it's a slam dunk. And that's kind of a little, you know, play at the end there where they could run 3 games in a row. So, yeah, they can get in trouble early and still pull it off at the end, especially if they need games to make the playoffs.
Yeah, this is,
They can do this.
I think this is a slam dunk, like you said, Andy. If, you know, they play Chicago in week 6, Green Bay in week 8, and then Chicago again in week 12. So I really think they can drop one of these games and still hit this bet with those 3 games at the end with Detroit, because if we're talking candidly about the Lions and Green Bay, I don't think they're going to be in playoff contention. Nope. And I think the Vikings are going to be, for seeding purposes, needing to win these last 3 games. So I really like the bet at plus 125. You can't beat the value. Give me the Vikings over 3.5 divisional wins.
You know, I like the plus money.
There you go.
Now, you are the parlay pounder, yeah. And you like to get a little wild. Should we get a little wild here with the team out east?
Let's do it.
The New York Jets have the exact same line set at 3.5. That's the total in their division. The over is at a plus 110.
Yeah, the new Packers is what I like to call these guys. Packers. The new Packers.
It's still old guys.
It's still old guys. So, yeah, this is a harder one to read, obviously, Andy, uh-huh. because we don't know what this team's going to look like. They do got a bunch of young talent to put around Aaron Rodgers, which is, you know, they're a really fast team, and we saw that last year. They can rattle off wins.
It's a better defense,
It's a better defense, way better than the Packers have, a lot better than Aaron Rodgers had behind him in the past years. Mm-hmm. But will this all mesh? Will Aaron Rodgers get down on them if they lose a couple games early or something like that? In this division, we're talking New England, Miami, and what's the other one, Andy, that I can't think of right now?
Jacksonville?
No.
That's the South. That's the South.
It has to be the...
The East.
Giants, probably.
Giants are the NFC team.
I'm sorry, listeners, I can't figure this out. It's Miami, New England...
Tennessee.
And... No, they're AFC South too.
I keep thinking of the South team.
Buffalo Bills.
Well,
sorry.
That's your trip. That's your hiccup right there.
Yeah.
But with the Patriots, you don't know where they're at.
Yeah.
And New York gets up for those games, even though they lose a lot of them, or they have over the years.
Yeah.
I can see a path here. However, the under is sitting at a minus 140, so that kind of tells you this isn't a slam dunk.
No, I think the minus 140 really is the play here, Andy, because you just look at these divisional foes, and you got to think right out the gate that their first game of the season is a Monday night game against Josh Allen in the Buffalo Bills. It's in New York, but, I mean, isn't Buffalo New York as well?
Buffalo,
so
New York.
I'm just saying Josh Allen is going to want to throw the highlights out this first game.
Yep.
He's
going
to want to bulldoze these guys, obviously, in the same division. He's going to want to smoke these guys. So I think they're taking a loss right off the gate, and then they got to go week three against the New England Patriots. And you know that Belichick's going to have something up his sleeve for Aaron Rodgers. I just think 3.5, getting that fourth win is going to be very tough for them. I'm not saying that they can't be in these games and, you know, be close to winning them. I just don't believe that he's going to beat New England twice or Miami twice. And that's what's going to have to happen to hit this bet. So I think Miami is, you know, ascending. Really, really... good
depending on injuries.
Depending on injuries and stuff. Yeah, if Tua can stay healthy or whatever, I just think that the under on this play is the best way to go just because there's too many question marks about the roster and if Aaron Rodgers will mesh with these guys and the division being pretty good.
Yeah, Buffalo's at the top, not at the top of the division, top of the league.
Yeah, no
okay,
doubt.
They're a top three team in the league. New England's been getting better since they've parted ways
with
Tom Brady. And Miami's the ultimate wild card to me.
Yeah,
if Tua is healthy,
they can beat anybody, or they can lose to anybody.
Right.
Tyreek Hill can blow the top off the defense, or they couldn't throw it to him once. It's just the way that Miami's kind of been ever since Tyreek got there. They can beat anybody, or they can be the worst team in the league.
And say the same for now. I'll put New York, the Jets into
for
that,
sure.
too.
Like, it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing. They might be able to beat everybody any week, or they could lose to anybody.
Exactly.
And let's call a spade, Aaron Rodgers is no spring chicken any longer.
No, he's not.
But he's playing
really well. He's good.
But time is time. And Father Time is undefeated. I heard something like that.
Yep.
Hey, let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Nebraska Brewing Company. We've been enjoying the smooth, easy-drinking Ale Storm, the official beer of Omaha's AAA baseball team. Precisely crafted with Pilsner malt and Sterling hops, making it the perfect summer baseball beer. Don't go anywhere, folks. This is WTL. And welcome back, everybody, to WTL. Where's the line? I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron,
the Parlay Pounder.
You got it. We're back.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And you know, some of that sports betting we've been doing, people are saying it's too easy. Too easy for Jabron. You picked LSU like 3 weeks ago.
No doubt.
They took it down. So we need a challenge.
A little bit of a challenge here.
So we're going to get back into NASCAR.
Okay.
And not just some normal, you know, Daytona.
Or
Talladega. Yeah. Come on now. We want a challenge here. So that's why we're going to bring in Jake Bartecki. Jake, how are you doing?
Good boys, thanks for having me. Hey, nice pick on LSU, Jabron. That was my pick.
Heck yeah. Hell yeah, go Tigers, go Tigers.
Winners all around. And we brought you in, Jake, not only because we've had you on a couple times and you've been killing it with the NASCAR and your picks and your analysis, but you are a Chicago native, and this week NASCAR is going to Chicago for the Chicago Street Race Weekend. The proposed course, I'm looking at it right now, it's wild. It's 2.2 miles. It looks like you got a long straightaway down South Lakeshore Drive, and then you come back around down South Michigan Avenue. I mean, this is wild. This is crazy. And Jake, you're going to be there, right?
I am, boys. You know, shout out. I got to give a shout out to my mom, first and foremost.
There you go.
She won these tickets. to be honest, the tickets are so expensive that I never would have been able to go without this.
Hell yeah.
It was
thank you, Mom.
$270 for the cheapest ticket. But she won them. She won them in an auction at a fundraiser. She won them, and she got tickets to the Xfinity race on Saturday, which I won't be at, but I will be there Sunday for the cup race.
For the big boys.
She won, you know, tickets to the concerts and the race and scanners and the whole nine yards. So, you
awesome.
Know, it's going to be special because there has been a lot of NASCAR in Chicago for a long time, but that was at Chicagoland Speedway, which is in Joliet, which is not really close to the city at all. And that's why they call it Chicagoland. Is Chicagoland is the city, but also the wide range of suburbs all around the north, south, east, and west of Chicago. So this is like, this is a Chicago race. I mean, this is downtown.
Yeah, and this goes around. This is downtown Chicago. It's called Chicago's Grant Park. Has 12 turns. Seven of them are almost a 90-degree corner. I mean, this is going to be pretty tough for all the drivers concerned, not just the leaders or who we expect to be at the top here, but this is going to be challenging.
Yeah, it really is. And I think what it's going to lead to is you're going to see more of an F1 style race where a lot of guys are spread out from, you know, wherever you are, there's on the, you know, seated at the track, there's going to be a car going by you. It's just the nature of kind of street racing, which will that make it boring? Will that make it exciting? I have no idea.
Yeah.
part of it is that, you know, there's no cautions at stage breaks. That's been new rule for NASCAR on these road courses, which is going to make it really, really important for guys to maintain track position because there's just not going to be as many opportunities. I mean, you can't count on a caution. Those breaks, you can count on a caution every 60, 70 laps, give or take. Here it would probably be more every 15 to 20 laps, but you just don't have that here. So guys are going to have to be aggressive pretty much from the drop of the green flag till the checkered flag, because this is also only a 100-lap race, and it is, as you guys were just talking about, there's no cautions. So guys are going to have to be on it from the minute the green flag drops.
Yeah, it looks like they have two really long straightaways, and then they're just going to have to slam the brakes and make a 90-degree turn going southbound on Columbus Drive, then back on Columbus Drive. Pretty wild, pretty fun. Where are you going to be watching this from?
I believe we are sitting by turns 10 and 11. So right kind of as they're coming to that second to last corner.
Wow.
Headed towards the start finish line. So it'll be a really cool view.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I don't know if that's exactly where we are, but I think it's somewhere in that neighborhood.
That's fantastic. And for people that know Chicago, that's you're on Michigan Avenue there, South Michigan Avenue. How cool. So let's get into some of these favorites here, Jake. Nobody's surprised. Chase Elliott, whether it's on a dirt track, long track, speed track, he's always up at the top there. I got him at a plus 500, followed by Tyler Reddick at plus 650, and then Truex Jr., who's been pretty good this year, at a plus 700.
Yeah, and you can't go wrong, especially when you have such an unexpected territory here with this new street course. You can't go wrong with picking any of those guys you just mentioned, Andy. I mean, it's Chase Elliott, Tyler Reddick, who's won already on a road course already this year at Dakota, Kyle Larson, even a Martin Truex Jr. or an A.J. Allmendinger. I mean, Martin Truex Jr. is won at Sonoma already this year. Picked up his seventh win ever in his career there. So he's very good at tracks with a lot of turns. And then you look at a guy like an AJ Allmendinger. I mean, he won at the Indy Road Course a couple years ago. He's obviously a very good road course racer. But there, you know, there's two guys that I am actually looking at, and neither of them are. Well, one of them is sort of towards the top in odds, and that's Ross Chastain.
Okay.
I think Ross Chastain, I mean, that team has so much momentum right now. They just are coming off a win at their home track at Nashville with Ross Chastain.
Ooh, okay.
And with this kind of track, aggression is going to breed aggression. And you go all the way back to Gateway last season where Ross Chastain had somebody in his way, and that somebody was Denny Hamlin, and he put Denny Hamlin in the wall. And that started this whole conversation of the last two seasons. Ross Chastain is too aggressive. Ross Chastain is in over his head. He's bumping guys out the way. He's had run-ins with Kyle Larson multiple times this season. So you think about a track like this where, you know, track position is going to be so, so important. I could see if Ross Chastain decides to be aggressive Ross Chastain, everyone else is going to have to look out because he's going to be coming through like a bull in a literal China shop with this kind of racetrack.
Heck yeah.
The other guy that I like is Alex Bowman, and that's my pick for the race. I don't know if you guys want me to go with my pick
yet. Yeah, do it.
Let's do it.
Plus 3,000, Alex Bowman. P3 finish earlier this year at COTA.
Okay.
That's Circuit of the Americas. Second place finish last year at Circuit of the Americas. And he's one of those guys that right now is sitting just outside the cut line for the playoffs. He missed a lot of time due to injury with a sprint car accident.
Okay.
So I think Alex Bowman is one of those guys who can kind of push the limits a little bit this weekend, and probably will push the limits a little bit. And a checkered flag, obviously he could still make it on points into the playoffs, but a checkered flag would take a lot of weight off that team's shoulders heading into Atlanta, Pocono, Michigan. And, you know, like I said, I mean, third place already at a road course this season. So he's a good road course driver as well.
What do you think of this kind of a mid-tier value play here? Christopher Bell, he's also at a plus 2,500, plus 3,000, depending where you're looking. But he won on Daytona's road course, you know, back in 2021. He also won in Charlotte Royal in 2022. So, I talked about Bell about a month ago or so, and he did fairly well. Like, he didn't disappoint. And I don't know, Jake, I'm asking you, what do you think of the Christopher Bell play?
Well, Christopher Bell, similar to Ross Chastain, both of their first career wins came on road courses. Ross Chastain's was at Circuit of the Americas last year. Christopher Bell, like you said, Andy, he won at the Daytona road course and just his second full-time Cup Series start. So obviously he's not afraid of road course that early in his career. I absolutely think he's up there. I mean, Toyota's been fast. You know, they've already got two wins on road courses this season with Tyler Reddick at Circuit of the Americas and Martin Truex Jr. at Sonoma. So Joe Gibbs Racing and 2311 has had the road course package figured out. Will they have had a street course package figured out? I don't know. I mean, it's, again, it goes back to this unpredictability about this street course. It's just a different animal.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's a road course, and Christopher Bell is another one of those guys that has road course experience and has wins on it. So, yeah, I don't think there's any disvalue in picking a guy like that.
Yeah, for sure, Jake. And I would kind of want to flex back to your Alex Bowman pick. I have him at plus 4,000 on DraftKings right now.
Oh, okay.
But at a top three finish, you got him at plus 900. And even at a top five, you got him at plus 500. So those are still really good value plays for somebody that you're putting a lot of stock in. Is he kind of just a win, or, you know, that's it? Or do you think he could be in that top five and be, you know, consider with it and not wreck himself?
Depends on your means in terms of how much you want to bet. You know, I'm the type of guy that if you have the means and you think he's going to win the race, why not put it down as a top three or a top five or a top 10? You know, parlay them all, and then if he wins, then boom, you've hit a big bet.
There you go.
So absolutely, I think that's smart. With Alex Bowman, I sort of feel like this is not going to be a race where you're going to see somebody have a mechanical failure.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I play into the top 10, top 5, top 3 bets is, all right, is this a track where this driver's equipment is going to be able to last 400, 500 miles? And in this case, it's just, you know, a couple hundred miles.
Yeah.
So it's a little different, you know, 100 laps, 220 miles.
Yeah.
So I don't see this being a race where there's going to be a lot of mechanical failures. The only thing I'd watch for in this race that could hurt somebody in a top 10, top 5, top 3 is somebody overusing their brakes and losing a brake rotor, which we have seen a couple of times already this season. I mean, you go back to Gateway a couple of years ago, 800 pounds of pressure on those brakes at COTA. There's probably going to be just about that much this weekend at Circuit of the Americas. There's going to be a lot of shifting.
Yeah.
So I think the two things that you got to watch for and consider when you make a bet of a top three, top five, top 10, all right, is this driver's equipment going to be able to handle the amount of shifting these guys are going to be able to do? Because you've got those long straightaways, like Andy mentioned, but then you've got, you know, a sharp right and a sharp left. I mean, that's going all the way to fourth, down to first, most likely. And then obviously there's braking involved in that as well. So keep those in mind. But yeah, I mean, if you've got a confident pick and a driver that you think is going to win and you've got the means to do it, I'd say parlay those.
Out of the 12 turns on this race, on this street race, seven of them are approximately 90 degree corners. It's going to be wild. All right, Jake, with all that added up, do you got a flyer for us?
Yeah, I've got a couple. You know, I'd say the value pick is Brad Keselowski.
Okay.
Plus 3,300. Obviously, Ford has struggled a little bit, primarily on road courses this season. But Brad Keselowski in his past has always been a guy that has run well at road courses. A couple of his sleepers I like. Michael McDowell, plus 2,000. I mean, he's always seems to find his way up into a top five or a top 10 at a road course. And that's, you know, Jabron, you mentioned some of the placing bets, and that's one where I go top five, top 10 on.
Yeah.
You know, also guys like Austin Cindric, another guy who needs to win most likely to get into the playoffs. One of his first races in the Cup Series before he was full-time with Team Penske was at Circuit of the Americas when NASCAR went there for the first time in 2021, and he was the predominant leader. I think he started on the front row for that race, so he qualified really well. He got out front. He led most of that race, and I can't remember where he ended up finishing, but I know he was up towards the front for a lot of that race. And then the other one would be Chase Briscoe, plus 5,000. I don't see him winning. He's another bet that I would take to maybe place, but you know, he has 17 top 10s in his first couple of years in the Cup Series, and four of those have come on road courses.
Yeah. No, I like all those long shot plays that you just said, Jake. Just go through them. Brad Keselowski is sitting there at plus 6,500 to take down the race on DraftKings. So you put a $5 bet on this guy, you're bringing home $330. Same with Chase Briscoe is sitting at plus 6,500. And then your other two guys, Michael McDowell at plus 2,800, along with Austin Cindric. You're putting $5 on those guys and you're bringing home 145. So these are fun bets that we're not saying bet the farm on, but you're just throwing $5 on there, and you know, you just got hope that one of these guys can take down the race and bring you back a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah, get ahead early and stay with that position, right, Jake?
Yeah, no kidding. And the one thing I will say, and this is advice we give people every single week we do a NASCAR segment, right, guys? Check the books throughout the weekend.
You know, for sure.
Check them after practice. Check them after qualifying. I mean, even what I was looking at was a little different than what you guys are looking at now. So see what shifts, what changes after we see the order.
For sure.
This is going to be a race where track position is going to be at a premium. And
those
odds for guys that might start deeper in the field, like a Keselowski or a McDowell or a Briscoe, are probably going to get even higher.
So yeah.
It's worth checking.
Jake, I can't thank you enough. Our Chicago native talking about NASCAR's Chicago Streetway race due this weekend, and you're going to be on hand. Have a really good time.
You bet, boys. I'll send you some pictures. Maybe I'll even send a live WTL report.
We'd love that, Jake. Thanks a lot, man.
Check in. We'll get that on the Twitter handle for sure. Jake, thank you.
Thanks, boys.
Don't go anywhere, folks. This is WTL. And welcome back, everybody, to WTL, Where's the Line, Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron.
Oh, the parlay, the parlay pounder.
You're right, we're back.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And how about Jake Bartecki?
That was awesome.
Our Chicago native, got him on there to talk about a Chicago NASCAR street race.
And he's going to be there.
And yeah, he's going to be there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool that he gave old mom a shout-out, too.
Yeah.
If it weren't for mom, I couldn't be
there. Yeah.
I mean, on Michigan Avenue, too.
That's all of us, yeah.
That's pretty darn
cool.
Shout-out
to mom.
Yep. Thank you, mom. Thank you, mom. All right, now, you wanted to get into something a little wild here.
Yeah, for sure.
In Major League Baseball,
yeah,
you want to talk about some team futures and some teams that are currently on the outside looking in, but you still think can maybe make the playoffs or win their division.
Yeah, for sure. Most of them, most all of these are going to be wild card plays, Andy. Mm-hmm. These teams are just knocking on the door of the wild card that still have a chance to make the playoffs with really good odds right now. So that's what I want to look into on this segment. Yeah.
Teams making the playoffs.
Teams to make the playoffs.
Just to make the playoffs. And you want to start with the Bo Sox.
Yeah, we got to start with the Boston
Red Sox. And that's at a, yes, they are at a plus 450, or a no, they're not going to make it at a minus 650. That almost tells me everything I need to know right there.
Yes, that is pretty crazy of a line right there for the minus 650. Obviously, there's no value in that. You're not going to bet on them not to make the playoffs because it's a formality that they're not going to make it right now.
They're fifth in their division.
They're fifth in their division, Andy, but where they can make it is into one of these three wild card spots.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
only 3.5 games out of the wild card right now, Andy, to make it in. And, you know, just the way that they've been kind of trending the last couple of weeks, Andy, I really think that they can, you know, ground out some wins. They've beaten the Yankees. They've beaten the Twins. They've been, in most cases, they have, you know, beaten some pretty good, talented teams. And it seems like they're getting healthy. Rafael Devers, like you were talking about earlier, 18 home runs, 60 runs batted in. Very, very good player. One of the best third basemen in baseball.
Yep.
And Alex Verdugo is hitting for a good, clean 300 right now. So they got players that can do this, Andy.
Hey, my boy Turner's turning it on in fantasy.
No doubt.
You know, he's doing really well. Spelling Devers at third base, but then also playing a lot of first base NDH. He's turned a corner.
Exactly, Andy. And so if Chris Sale can really put in some really, really good innings for them and get them a few more wins, sitting 3.5 games back for a plus 450 value, I really think it's a good play right now. Not to throw a whole bunch of cash on it, but the Boston Red Sox are only 3.5 games out of the wild card to make the playoffs, and that is very good value, Andy. So, you know, it's at plus 450, and it's never going to get better than this right now.
Sure.
Or, you know, it's not going to get if they start winning games, that value is going to go down. So what I'm saying is it's a good look right now to bet on them because they have the pieces to do it.
I mean, as we're recording, they're 40-40. They're straight up at 500. With that, they would still be a game and a half in the lead in the Central Division. Pretty wild where they're at. And that's why they're only three and a half games back of that wild card spot.
Yeah, Andy. And if we're going to start talking about the AL Central, I'll take my leave because my twins are at top of the division. And we're two games behind 500. So, the Central is not looking good, but the AL Beast is the best in baseball.
Looking really good, as we kind of predicted in our preseason show
old
Matt Plotcheck.
Yep.
Shout out Bobcats. All right, let's move on down the list a little bit. I think this is a little bit safer play, a little bit better play, something I might feel a little bit better about. That is the LA Los Angeles Angels. They're back to being the LA Angels. They're not the Anaheim or the California Angels. they're back
the
to
LA.
LA, and they're at a plus 145 to make the playoffs.
Yeah, Andy, and I really do think this is a good play. They're sitting in a wild card spot right now, so they are in the playoffs as of today, sitting at 44-37, which, you know,
they're five games back in the Western Division.
Exactly. So they still have an outside chance of doing that. I would like them to add maybe a pitcher or two at the trade deadline or something to help out Shohei a little bit, but they are pretty stocked with their money already with the likes of, you know, Rendon, Trout, Otani, money already being spent. So I really do think that they're going to make a playoffs and make a push this year because they're running out of years with Shohei and obviously with Mike Trout prime years.
This is it.
This is it. If they're going to win, it has to be now. So I really do like them to make the playoffs. And the way that Shohei Otani is playing
now,
it is crazy. Like we were saying before we hopped on this, Andy, he's leading the Anaheim or the Los Angeles Angels in all three categories of batting, batting .304, 28 home runs, 64 runs batted in, in all three categories in pitching, .302 earned run average, 7 wins, and 127 strikeouts. The game that we just watched last night or the night before, he had 10 strikeouts and 2 home runs is all.
2 home runs as the DH, and I think he only had 2 walks. 10 strikeouts and 2 walks.
Yep, and buried the White Sox.
What he's doing is mind-blowing. I mean, I can't overstate it enough. Most guys are just pitchers or they're just position players.
Yep.
Or they're even so far down as, I'm just a hitter. I'm just a DH.
I'm just a DH.
I sit here and I bat 5 times a night. That's all I do.
Yeah.
This guy is leading his team in 6 of the top 6 categories, pitching and hitting. It is unbelievable.
It really is.
What he's doing. The MVP, just give it to him now. I don't want anything goofy.
Take the trophy up to him right now.
I don't want Aaron Judge to hit 4 home runs in a game and then we give it to him again.
No. Can't happen.
Don't do that. Just give it to Ohtani right now.
Yep. I agree.
All righty. Should we talk about another team that a lot of our listeners always keep their eye on?
You have to.
And I don't want to call them the lovable losers. They got that monkey off their back. They have their World Series. We're talking about
they
the
do.
Chicago Cubs. I don't know. Where are you at with the Cubs on this one?
Yeah, so anyways, the line, Andy,
is +360.
+360. So it's not as bad a line as the Red Sox.
Right.
So the bookmakers do think they have a better chance of making the playoffs.
Yep.
Like we say, and we didn't want to talk about Central teams, but we're going to the National League Central, which is a little better, but not very much.
No.
They're sitting. The thing that I don't really like about this bet, Andy, is they're 6.5 games out of the wild card.
They're 3.5, though, out of their division.
Yes.
That's where they can do it.
That's where it flips.
Yeah.
So I really just don't think that they have the roster to do this year.
Mm.
But looking at, you know, the NL Central, somebody's got to do it. I don't think the Reds are going to keep up this pace that they're playing right now. But I do believe, we were talking about it earlier in our pre-show, pre-MLB show, talking about the Brewers a little bit, and we thought mm-hmm. the Cardinals might make a move. Cardinals aren't making a move.
No,
Cardinals aren't making
done.
A move. Yeah. So I really do think the Chicago Cubs have a chance to win this division, but that's the only way that they're making the playoffs.
And it's not going to be the Chicago Sausage King Abe Froman we're going to be talking about. It's going to be Marcus Stroman, who is leading them in earned run average at a sub-3. I love that. A 2.47. 9 wins on the season, and he has 85 strikeouts. Marcus Stroman is hurling the ball. And if you got an ace like that, a guy that's just kind of not a guaranteed win, but you know every time he takes the mound, you have a really good chance to come out with a win.
And they really do kind of have a pretty good rotation with Kyle Hendricks and Jameson Taillon and Drew Smyly. So they do have a good rotation, Andy. What I'm really looking at with the Cubs is if Cody Bellinger, you know, their new piece that they got this year, can really step into that, you know, MVP for the Cubs type situation.
Yeah.
And then their right fielder, Suzuki, can he get back from injury and get on kind of the role that he got them on last year when he came through? So I really look at those two players to make this jump, if they're going to make this jump, but they are definitely a good outside chance to take down this NL Central. So
that's what they're going to have to do.
That's what they're going to have to do.
And Bellinger was hurt, but it must not be serious.
No, he's back. He's good. It's just Suzuki and him are day to day most of the time, just because they don't want to overextend and you know, lose him for the season and stuff. So I really do like the Cubs maybe to win this division, but that is the only shot that they have, because this wild card looks really, really stacked in the NL.
I mean, you're looking at even the Diamondbacks already have 48 wins on the season. The Giants are right there behind them with 45.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers, they're third place in the Western Division. They have two more wins than the best team in the Central.
Exactly.
So, you're not getting the wild card. You got to win your division.
You got to win the division. Yeah, because like you said, even the Marlins, the Dodgers, the Giants all have 45 wins. So it's pretty crazy how the NL wild card is shaping up, and a lot of fun in the American League too. So, just a couple. I just like those plays. Those are some that I got my eye on right now, especially with the Los Angeles Angels.
Yeah, I do like the LA Angels. Out of those three, that's the one I like the most at that +145.
For sure.
Let's take a minute to recognize one of our fabulous partners, and that is the Stock and Rod Company, an outdoor lifestyle brand for those seeking adventure. Whether it's hunting, fishing, hiking, they got you covered. Visit stockandrod.com to get your wild game on. Don't go anywhere. This is WTL. And welcome back, everybody, to WTL, Where's the Line, Nebraska's first and only sports betting show. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron,
the Parlay Pounder.
You got it. You got it.
Yes, yes, sir. And we are getting back into your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
That is the UFC Fight Night back at the Apex in Las Vegas. Pretty fun little card here. One of your favorites is headlining.
Yeah, Tarzan, Sean Strickland up on top of the card, like always. This is going to be a lot of fun. And yeah, I'm definitely a Strickland fanboy.
I've been following him, you know, since we started doing this. And
yeah.
And he is just wild. The stuff that he puts out on social media, it's like this guy right here.
He is Tarzan. Yeah. It's like if somebody just knew, found a phone, what they would be doing on it is right. What Sean Strickland would do.
Yeah. And he just wears it on his sleeve.
He does.
He's cool.
He's the man.
All right, but we're going to start with a welterweight bout on the main card. That is Max Griffin taking on Michael Morales. Morales is out of Ecuador, but he is a kind of a big favorite here at a minus 200 compared to the young man out of the United States, Max Griffin, who's sitting at a plus 170.
Well, young, no. Griffin is currently at 37 years of age, Andy, and I'm going to flip to Morales here. He's going to try and keep this on his feet and look for his knockout shot.
Yeah.
But, you know, he will be currently faster than Max Griffin. But Griffin will try and make this more of a physical fight and against the fence or on the ground. So that's what you got to look for. In Morales' last fight, he did get taken down, which, you know, really put some doubt in your mind there, Andy. So
he pulled off the win, though.
He did. He pulled off the wins, and he was able to get back up to his feet and then block a couple of those takedowns later in the fight. So he's going to have to do that a lot more against Max Griffin, because that's all he's going to try and do. Morales is a fantastic striker, Andy, and will absolutely land big shots on his feet. And
he's
we know
a 3-inch reach.
Exactly.
He's got that reach.
And we know his offense will be on point. So, but Max Griffin is no slouch. I'm not trying to say that in the striking department. And he has fought, you know, he has fought way better competition than Morales.
Yeah,
Max Griffin has been through the gauntlet. But this is a nice step. Yeah, this is a step up in competition for Morales, but I think this fight is going to show us the new up-and-comer, is going to be better than the aging veteran.
Morales is 14-0.
Yeah.
He's on his way up, but Max Griffin's sitting there with 19-9, so you can't take him lightly.
No, you can't.
And I think that's why it's kind of tight, you know, minus 200 and plus 175. Those aren't wild.
No, it's not wild
lines
odds
out there.
And,
so.
And that's the reason for it. You know, like we said, Griffin is 37 years of age, Andy, and his best years are behind him. And while he'll be, you know, a good test for Morales, I just think this is more of a formality that Morales, this is his stepping stone. This is how he gets ranked. This is how he breaks into the top and starts fighting that upper echelon of this division.
So just Morales on a straight bet to win, or what is that your best bet?
I think just to win right now. You could throw some stuff on there. There is winning method on him right now. Let me look. By TKO is at a plus 175. So that's not the best odds, but it is better than the minus 240 or 200 that you're looking at right now. So if you really think he's going to go out there and knock him out, which is probably the best, you know, best bang for your buck at the plus 175, because that is the most likely to happen, is that Morales just overcomes Griffin with this KO.
All righty. So should we move on up the card?
Let's do it.
Got a lightweight bout. Young man, maybe not so young by your standards here, Mr. Parlay Pounder, from Kazakhstan. That's Damar Ismailgulov.
Yeah.
He's the number 12 contender in the world versus Grant Dawson, the number 15 contender in the world. Dawson, a slight dog here at a plus 125.
Yeah, this is going to be an incredible fight, Andy. And
it's kind of a coin flip, isn't it?
It really is a coin flip. To me, it is anyways. And as both guys can jump up a lot in the rankings with a win, Ismailgulov is the favorite, like you said, but I like the underdog. Damir's coming off a razor-close split decision win, where he took a lot of damage, and it kind of went down to the, Herb Dean there, you know, reffing this thing a little bit, where I think it probably should have went the other way. It went his way.
Sure.
So I think Damir has the advantage on the feet, but what I like about Dawson is how good his body triangle is on the ground and how he just doesn't let guys up once he gets that in. You know, some guys get their hooks in or whatever and then kind of get tired of it. Not not Dawson. Dawson is going to keep him on the ground for as long as it needs. Dawson also turned down a fight against the guy that beat Demir last time, but he was willing to accept this fight. So I think he really thinks that he has an advantage over this guy, and especially on the ground.
He's got a great advantage grappling-wise. He averages almost 4 takedowns per every 15 minutes, where Demir is only at a 1, just over 1
for
takedown
sure.
per 15. So that just tells you everything you need to know. Their takedown accuracy is about the same, but it's just that Dawson is relentless. He's not going to let up.
He's not going to let up.
It's that wrestling background pedigree that I think he brings with him.
Exactly, and Dawson hasn't fought anyone with the skill set of Demir. I'm not saying that, but he gave Mark Madsen, a decorated wrestler, his first loss in the UFC by dominating the wrestler and getting the submission finish. So I like Dawson to pull up this upset, Andy. And if we really want to get into it, Grant Dawson to win by submission right now is at a plus 350. So I like that value. Plus, I see a lot of paths to this way of victory for Grant Dawson to get him on the ground and Demir not being able to combat that with good defense there. So I like the Grant Dawson by submission, but I'll probably just take him to win overall, and that's sitting anywhere from minus 100 to plus money right now as well.
Really good value there. And Ismagulov, he does have good takedown defense.
Yeah.
However, his submission average is 0 per 15 minutes.
Yeah, he's not going to get a submission.
Yeah, Dawson's the one you're going to look to for that.
For sure.
Should we move on up to the main?
Let's go.
event.
Yeah.
The middleweight bout, the number 7 contender in the world, Tarzan. Sean Strickland out of the United States is the favorite here at a minus 170, taking on Abbas Magomedov out of Germany, who's a plus 145 underdog. Now, people have looked at that and thought, how did this guy get the fight like this so early, and why is the line so tight?
Well, it's tight because this Magomedov is a very good fighter, obviously.
Yeah.
And what really went into this, Andy, is a lot of canceled fights. And, a lot of rescheduling and all that kind of stuff. Sean Strickland just lays it out, like we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'll fight anybody, anytime, anywhere. And that is true.
Yeah.
This guy has been on, 3 cards this year already. So this guy will fight anybody, anywhere. Magomedov, like you said, numerous canceled fights. After his UFC debut, he finally had a fight last October, and he made quick work of that guy in 19 seconds.
That was crazy.
It was crazy. It's hard to take much away from that performance, but he's the real deal. And the fact of the matter, he has a shot against Sean Strickland, who's rated number 7 in the world right now in his respective weight class. His only loss... I'm talking about Magomedov. His only loss in 2015 was to Lewis Taylor 5 years ago, who was an incredible fighter, and he retired after that. So it was a flash KO in 30 seconds, so you can't really take anything out of that either.
Mm-hmm.
So
the
reason the line's so close to me, the reason I think it's so close, Andy, is we don't really got a lot to go on with Magomedov. So they don't want to put a huge line towards Sean Strickland and lose a lot of money if Magomedov can pull this out somehow.
And Strickland, we said it, Tarzan, he's the true Tarzan. He gets into this deal where he'll take you on in your game. He wants to show you that, you want to stand and throw bones? Well, I can do that. You want to take it to the mat? Well, I can do that. And he gets himself caught in these predicaments where it's like, no, you're playing into their strength.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of how his mind works.
He saw that against Alex Pereira,
the
champion.
God.
Well, the champion after Izzy took him down. But, you really saw that in that fight. And Strickland's been trying to get back to that where he was as a contender at that point. So this is a good fight for him. Strickland will want to make this a boxing match for 5 rounds. If it does go the distance, Strickland will probably wear Magomedov down and piece him up on the feet. Strickland will also have to deal with long leg kicks from Magomedov as well, though.
He's got the reach.
He's got the reach, especially with the legs. But he just won in convincing fashion against Imanov in January. So he knows how to win these stand-up battles that go deep into the fight. So I really like Strickland here. He lost to Jared Cannonier by a really close split decision that could have went either way.
Right.
But he's beaten the likes of Imanov, Hermanson, and destroyed Uriah Hall over 5 rounds. So he has the pedigree to do this.
He does.
Can Magomedov do this? Yes. Is it likely? No. Pereira is a different beast, obviously, thinking about, you know, the KO that Strickland took to him. I just think Strickland survives early strikes and then wears him down en route to another boxing clinic from our guy, Tarzan.
So do you think one of the best bets is this goes the distance, this goes all five?
Definitely. That is a very, very good bet, Andy, that this goes the entire way, which is sitting right now at the bet right now is over 3.5 rounds.
Yes,
so, yep. And that's at a -150. So I really think that's a very good bet because I think it's going to go at least 5 rounds. Mm-hmm. Maybe Strickland knocks him out in the 5th. But I really just like the overall -150 for Sean Strickland to win this fight as well.
You know, I think I was listening to our buddy Vinicaro out there in Las Vegas, and he's saying Strickland has to have learned by now, keep your hands up. And if he keeps his hands up early, he should be okay to get into his game and then drag this out, beat him up, rough him up over 5, right?
Yeah, no, this should be just a really, really good sound fight for Strickland. Like we said, I think he's got that kind of out of his system with taking those guys on how they want him to fight, and he's really looking to ascend back into that, competitive edge for that belt with Izzy, Pereira,
and
Jared
Cannonier
as well. So this will be a good fight for him. I think he makes work of him with a unanimous decision.
Oh, going with the unanimous. Now, you are the parlay pounder.
Yeah.
Do you got a parlay play?
I do, Andy, and it's pretty just straight across like we just talked.
Okay.
Right now on DraftKings, I got Grant Dawson at -105, Michael Morales at a -240, and Sean Strickland at a -150. All these guys just have to win. I'm putting $25 on it to receive $115.
All right, so you got 3 favorites there. All they got to do is just hold serve and do what they're supposed to do.
Just win the fights like I called it. So, no, this should be a fun one, and I really do think these 3 have a really good chance of winning. So, go Tarzan, go Morales, go Dawson.
This is one of those ones I can get behind you.
Let's go.
Let's do it. Well, that'll do it for this week. So be sure to follow us on ESPN Tri-Cities Radio, our Twitter handle, and please subscribe, if you haven't already, to our YouTube channel. Get those daily free picks over on our TikTok as well, if you are one of those TikTokers out there. For Jabron, the Parlay Pounder, I'm Andy Klassen. Thank you for listening. This has been WTL.
Nebraska Public Media Sports brings you live all-day coverage of the NSAA High School Football Championships on Monday, November 24th and Tuesday, November 25th. Watch all day, both days, on Nebraska Public Media or live stream every game on Nebraska Public Media's YouTube channel.
Holidays bring feasting, fluffy dinner rolls, tasty stuffing, and your family's French toast bakes. With Hero Bread, indulge in your holiday favorites, made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, bagels, croissants, buttermilk biscuits, and more. And don't forget their Hero Hawaiian rolls. With 4 grams of protein and 0 grams net carbs, Hero Bread has you covered with 0 to 5 grams net carb and high fiber options, so your holidays stay delicious and balanced. Like their 3 grams net carb pan au chocolat. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains up to 17 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.